Welcome to the Fayetteville Fire Podcast, your source for all the fire, safety, and sometimes random information you never knew you wanted. I'm Captain Steve Shakeshaft, your host for the podcast, and I got the best job ever. Let's talk about it. How's it going, Kevin?
I'm doing well. Hope you're doing good.
Man, good to see you. We've been seeing a bunch of each other here lately, but...
Absolutely. Yeah, it's busy. Busy months coming up for sure.
Busy time of year for us. So wanted to get you on the podcast. We have so many things going on. Fire Prevention Week coming up. And everyone kind of sees October as Fire Prevention Month. I mean, really, we're just so busy around the community. And we've been doing a lot of work together. So I kind of wanted to have the opportunity. It's been highlighted lately in the community, the partnership with the city and the county. Coming together, working on different things, different projects together. But we've been doing this for years. The fire service, we've been working together for years. So before we get into all that stuff, tell us a little bit about Kevin and yourself. Who are you? What do you do? All that stuff.
Yeah, so my name's Kevin Lowther. I'm a fire marshal over at Cumberland County Emergency Services Office. Serve various different roles over there. Fire marshaling is obviously one of my main goals, community risk reduction, code enforcement, public education. And then my secondary duties would be working in our emergency management office when we have disasters and other things. Collaboratively, we work with a lot of outside stakeholders, whether it be the Office of the State Fire Marshal or working with the City of Fayetteville, Spring Lake, or Hope Mills. We all come together to really do the same thing, and that's provide the best service we can to our citizens.
Yeah, and so you're the fire marshal?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. And there's been some, in the past, we've had some times where there's been incidents and we have to come together. And what a lot of people, I guess, don't realize is the city of Fayetteville has emergency management staff. We have a fire marshal, but we can call on the county as a resource when things are happening just in the city, or the county can call on us as a resource if things are happening outside, or if it's affecting both, like Hurricane Matthew, Hurricane Florence, all that stuff. We all come together, and I know that's not your wheelhouse specifically, but you're part of that team just like I am.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always believe that it doesn't matter what patch you wear, we're all in it for the same reason, and that's to take care of our citizens. And You know as well as I do, we all train together. We see each other at different things, whether it's a large hazmat incident, it can be a public education event, but we're all there for the same reasons, and that is to take care of our citizens.
And some of us go from one agency to the other. You've served with us in the past, right?
Yep. So started with Fayetteville in 2008.
Gosh, man, we are getting old.
Yep, it's been... we are. I did... 4 years on Heavy Rescue Company 1. I'm going to argumentatively say that that was the best job the city of Fayetteville has. I know I'll catch some flack from my hazmat buddies, but I did do 4 years on Rescue 1. Great job. Started as a fireman, then I transitioned over to assistant fire marshal with the city of Fayetteville. In totality, I had about 10 years on the Fayetteville Fire Department. And then I shifted over to the county, and I've been there almost 8 years now as the fire marshal.
Okay. Very cool. So, You brought up community risk reduction, and we have pushed really hard in the city our new community risk reduction specialist positions, and that they're out. And the best way to keep everybody safe is prevent the incident. And we kind of separate out our code enforcement and our community risk reduction staff, and that's really just a supervisory thing. We're all working together. So when it comes to those two things, you're doing both, right? So what kind of explain to us the code enforcement side versus the CRR side and how they work together.
Yeah, so community risk reduction obviously is looking at all the trends and analysis, things that are happening within your community, looking at some of the data points. By that we can tell that cooking fires are still the highest fire, that causes fatalities and injuries, and they occur the most. That's kind of the community risk reduction side of it. My office does do it, even though we're kind of low-staffed on doing a full community risk reduction program, because that does take a lot of effort, and it needs full-time positions. So basically what we do is we rely heavily on our county partners being our county fire stations, and we kind of more oversee and give them the knowledge and say, hey, here's what the trends are, this is what's going on, you're aware of it, and then we help them formulate plans within their own fire districts to achieve training programs and other resources, like our smoke alarm canvassing program. That's one of the highlights of that. We found a need for that So now we have a QR link that the customer, being the citizen, can scan. Whether you're in the city of Fayetteville, Spring Lake, or in the county area, it doesn't matter. You can scan this one QR link, put your address and information in, and get a call from a fire department to come do a home evaluation, where you can get a smoke alarm install or a free home safety risk assessment. And that's like the community risk reduction piece. How do we connect to our community, find out what their needs are, and then connect them with resources to fix their need? And then shifting over to like the code enforcement side of it, we do a lot of that as well. That is required by the state of North Carolina in general statute. So we do everything from new construction when it comes in under a plans review to ensure a building meets certain safety standards. And then we have a deputy fire marshal that specifically does that. And then after he completes the job and it receives a CO, which is a certificate of occupancy, then we have a maintenance division side, and a deputy fire marshal is over that. And then he ensures that all the buildings are inspected for the rest of their existence to make sure we have like a minimum level of compliance.
Yeah, and the city's got the same, you know, the same setup. We have our fire marshal. I'll have him on here eventually, I'm sure, too. You came to mind just because of all the work we've been doing together here lately. But one thing that I've had a lot of conversations with residents over the last couple of years is if you think let's say pre-2000, not to the year 2000, a lot of fire codes were created due to incidents that happened. Fires happened, deaths happened, and new fire codes were born of these risks that we didn't see until they happened. And when you think about CRR coming together with code enforcement, they're always going to ask, well, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Why is that standard there? Why is that standard there? Now we can use data, and we can use true incident data that's gauged over the years to say, hey, this might not have been an incident that caused 300 deaths in one spot, but we know it's a problem because it's happened one person, three people, one person, two person, and sometimes codes can come from that too, right? Am I wrong? Like in the new era of data, they're developing codes not just from major incidents and big things, but a lot of little things too, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's when it's looked at and what's put in those code books, and I've had the opportunity to help write some of the codes and do some changing in the fire code, you know, we look at our data points and what's occurring, how building technologies are changing, the type of construction that's going into it. You know, buildings are burning hotter, faster, and quicker, which creates more of a challenge for a fire department to put a fire out. And, you know, specifically out in the county, one of the bigger things that I fight that's maybe not quite as much of an issue in the city as water supply. You know, when you come in the city, you have a standard where water is always available and you can get to it pretty quick and get amount to where you can get a handle on the fire. Mm-hmm. In the county, we have to come up with some different alternatives to that, whether it be a water shuttle or certain tanks installed in certain locations to be able to get water. And then in some cases, you know, the water is just not achievable. So, you know, those standards are looked at and we change things over time, and they do come from data points and, you know, what the hazards are in present day, because they're not the same as what they used to be, even though they're very similar.
Yeah, and when you're moving your business into a new community or moving your family into a community, nobody's thinking about where the nearest fire hydrant is or what the water system is or what the codes for sprinklers are or anything like that. Nobody's thinking about that stuff. So we need to be the ones to educate the community. And I think we, in our partnership between the city and the county, have been doing a whole lot better of a job in the last 5 to 10 years in doing that.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And, you know, just like a example of that is we have a community risk officials group that's within Cumberland County, that all the fire marshal jurisdictions within Cumberland County, we have meetings together so that we stay on the same page and we understand what one jurisdiction is doing and what the other one is doing, so that we can all kind of be unified in our approach to how we're treating our citizens across the whole county. You know, our public schools are a great example of that. The public school has one set of administration that handles all public schools, but then you have different jurisdictions that are inspecting those schools. So we want to make sure that whether you're in the city of Fayetteville school or you're in the county school, that they're all receiving the same level of code enforcement, that they're one's not being told one thing different. You know, so we try to be unified and consistent in our approach to providing code enforcement and public education.
And just to be clear, there is a North Carolina standard fire code, but then jurisdictions can add additional to that or alterations to that. Is that what you're, just so I make sure I'm understanding what you're saying?
Yeah, so we all have the basic fire code that, you know, tells us it's our guidebook of how the code should be and what the state expects. But then jurisdictions can be a little more, you know, they can adopt standards that are more specific to their jurisdiction and how they do things, which as long as it's above or more restrictive than the code, it's allowed. You just can't be less restrictive. So, you know, before we make big decisions like that, you know, we like to come together as an organization to make sure all the fire marshals are kind of on the same page and that it's not going to contradict anything someone else does. And we try to be very unified in our approach to that. I can give you an example of a time, you know, with our public school system, they wanted to do the additional locking arrangements because, you know, the school shootings were increasing and the fire code did not permit that stuff at the time. So we come together, you know, it permitted it as long as it was approved by the local authority having jurisdiction. So rather than having four or five different organizations doing different things, we come together, put this group together, the community risk officials group, and we agreed on, as code enforcement professionals, that this is what we would allow and this is how we would do it, and these are the conditions that you could have it. So that's not to try to regulate things to the point where people don't have an option to keep things safe, but we want to make sure that they are doing it in a safe manner and that it's pretty consistent. So the other side to that is if you have a device that, you know, is for school shootings to help lock down doors, you need to have a way to train the fire service on
how to get in them,
what they're going to meet when they get there, right? We might need to get students out and help them evacuate. So there's just lots of elements that come into it, that communication and all of the organizations working together as a team is so important to everything that we do.
Speaking of schools, we are coming up. Fire Prevention Week is what, next week? Right.
Yeah, it's October 5th through the 11th this year. You know, it always coincides with October 9th from the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. So, yeah, it's always sometime right in that week, but it goes along with October the 9th.
Yeah, and we will spend, like I said earlier in the podcast, it is Fire Prevention Week. However, it's impossible for us to really reach everybody in that week. So we're going to be spending that week and most of the month of October reaching out to schools, spending time in schools, and really the future of our nation, the kids, we need to make sure they're thinking about this stuff because kids ain't thinking about this stuff. Am I right?
Yeah. They're distracted with tablets these days and all kinds of electronics. And, you know, they do have lots of curriculum in schools that they have to learn. And with those increased curriculum, you know, obviously fire safety starts to dwindle just a little bit. And that's, you know, kind of the thing we found. And ever since COVID, you know, that curriculum has got even tighter trying to reinforce and catch up things is from what I'm being told. So, you know, we always fight for space in the curriculum to try to educate and do fire safety within the schools. And, you know, we're finding that it's probably just not quite enough. And so us getting in the schools and doing more public education events like Safety Day and other things for Fire Prevention Week, you know, that keeps safety on the forefront of the minds of those children. And a lot of times those children, when we teach them those messages, they take those home to their parents and they actually teach their parents stuff that their parents haven't thought about or haven't learned before. So, you know, they really become a great teacher for us.
And another one of the cool partnerships that we've got going on is we have a committee of community risk reduction and fire life safety educators throughout the county. We come together and we work as a committee through the Chiefs Association. And one thing we've been able to do is find some new funding sources and different ways of acquiring educational materials that through this committee, it doesn't matter if you live in the city of Fayetteville or if you live in Beaver Dam, we're going to make sure that your schools are going to have some education materials that we can get out and work with these kids. How you came up with one of those? I mean, the National Safety Council, something was it?
We were doing? It's a National Fire Safety Council. And you know, businesses out should be looking for those letters. They do send letters out. They'll come from myself, Kevin Lowther, as the Fire Life Safety Chair for Cumberland County, and then Chief Freddie Johnson's name will be on there as well as the President of the Fire Chiefs Association. So, you know, we do ask for donations through that committee. That's completely separate from the fire marshal's office or any government, it is a nonprofit organization that runs for the best interests of the fire services in Cumberland County. So they do send those letters out asking for businesses to donate money to the organization, and all that money is used for public education materials to go into the school system.
And that's something to try to be very clear about. The Fayetteville Fire Department, the Cumberland County Emergency Services Office, we are not going to be calling you asking for donations. Your tax dollars pay for us. This is just another tool in the toolbox to make sure that every child and every family in Cumberland County and the city of Fayetteville are protected with the same types of materials so that we can get out and educate these kids. And every kid is given the same opportunity, no matter where they're at in the city or outside. So
yeah,
I love it.
100%.
Yeah, I love that stuff. What kind of events, other than going to the schools, and we'll talk about Safety Day in a few minutes, what other kind of requests do we see outside the city? I mean, in the city, we're getting requests from daycares now, prime times, and sometimes we have to tell the daycares, look, during Fire Prevention Week, I need to focus on the middle schools and the high schools and the kids that we can really dive into this, as opposed to this is a pretty fire truck, don't be scared of the firefighter. These are important, but during Fire Prevention Week, we're trying to focus on that, and we're getting a lot of requests from all sorts of different places, not just the middle schools and high schools. Is the county seeing that same kind of uptick in requests for them to come out to things?
Absolutely. You know, we see all kinds of requests. And it could be anything from we want to learn how to do CPR, we want someone to come out and teach us how to check our smoke alarms. We do have programs like We Will Come Out, and the biggest thing we try to do is we try to do train-the-trainer type events. By that I mean the county level will try to train some of the fire departments if there's things that they're not very familiar with public education, give them the resources they do, and then they can be a force multiplier and go out and teach them. And most of the time, the fire departments don't really need much because they do this job day in and day out.
Yeah.
It's those oddball things that they don't deal with a lot. It may be a code enforcement ask or training from our businesses. We do get a lot of that. Businesses want to know, can I have an inspection or a pre-inspection done?
Yeah.
And while we don't do that because we don't give them certain advantages, we do connect them with resources that can help them learn the code, how things apply, and we do talk them through how the code would affect in their building. But specific to public education, we do have a lot of requests, and they do get kind of cumbersome because we just don't have the manpower to fulfill every single request immediately, but we do keep a log of people, and we try to get someone within a reasonable time to assist the request.
And that's what I tell everybody. We may or may not be able to get to you the week of October 5th, but I promise we will schedule a time and we will make it happen. Yeah. We will get out there to you. So my community risk reduction specialists, Mary and Jody, it's amazing the amount of work that they have. I share a story of a former fire life safety educator we had. And he got a new supervisor. We only had one at that time. He was the only fire life safety educator. He got a new supervisor. That supervisor came in and said, look, I need you out in the community. I need you teaching classes. I need you forward facing. I want you out in the community making a difference. And about 4 months later, he said, man, I need you back in the office to answer the phone and schedule these things because it's just becoming too much, you know. Calls, then we're missing people, right? So I think we've done a great job between my ladies. If it's something outside the city, they'll immediately turn around and refer to you folks, and you're emailing and calling me all the time with stuff.
Absolutely. I feel like, honestly, with community risk reduction specifically, you know, I feel like we're all one team because I talk to your staff almost multiple times a week. You know, I would venture to say that we're all the same team, really, because we're all working together, fighting the same stuff. And there's been so many times where City of Fayetteville community risk reduction staff would come over and help me at a county event, or vice versa. I would offer to go help them at a city event. You know, the boundaries doesn't really matter. What matters is that we work together to get the training where it needs to go so that we can help save lives.
And speaking of events, the biggest event of the year for us when it comes to community risk reduction, Fall Safety Day. Historically, we have held our big Fall Safety Day during right at the start of or right at the end of Fire Prevention Week. It was either a kickoff or a wrap-up. And we had it over there on Skyber Road in a big empty parking lot. And what we've realized is that is a crazy busy week to be throwing a large scale event. There is so many things going on, and it's really hard to get everybody together when there's already so many other things. And the business that we held it in is now occupied. The vacant parking lot that we were using is now occupied. So we as a committee, we sat down and we talked and we're brainstorming some ideas to kind of re-envision Safety Day and how we can reach the most people. And darn it, I think we've come up with a pretty good idea, not patting myself on the back. We as a group did. So we are moving Fall Safety Day to November 8th this year, just a week out of, or a little over a week out of October. Let things kind of calm down after Fire Safety Week and month, but also before the holiday. And we've tagged up with an awesome organization over at the Holiday Fair. Do you want to share a little bit about that? Or
yeah, sure. The idea, was brought up in the couple Fire Life Safety Committee meetings ago from Captain Bumgardner with City of Fayetteville. He's on the committee. And he says, hey, why don't we move this thing out to Holiday Fair? Have we thought about that? So, we reached out to the Crown staff and we reached out to the Holiday Fair, and they were more than happy to accommodate us. So we will be having that event on the outside of the Holiday Fair. If you come to our event, you will still have to purchase your right to get into the Holiday Fair. Just want to make that very clear to everyone. Yeah. But, you can come out of the event, check us out. But it will be on that Saturday, November 8th, from 10 to 2 p.m. And we're going to have a lot of stuff out there, some cool safety education stations. You can learn how to use a fire extinguisher, stop the bleed, CPR. There's all kinds of events. And, I can let you talk a little bit more, because I think Captain Shakeshaft here, he is setting up and kind of leading the logistics of what that day is going to look like. The committee come up with that idea collectively as a whole, and we do have representation from all over the county. We got City of Fayetteville, the county representatives on there, and then multiple county fire station representatives. So we all felt like it was a great, great idea. We want to see everyone out there. We hope to have a really good time and that people learn something. And, we're really excited to see how the new location works in collaboration with that new partner.
Yeah, when I got to thinking about it, the number one goal is to educate families. And if we could tag up with an event that already had a bunch of families at it, this could be beautiful. So the Holiday Fair came up in a conversation. So mom or grandma or aunt and uncle, they want to go to the Holiday Fair. They want to do some shopping, see some crafts, do some stuff. And they come right out with their kids, and their kids can see a fire truck, put their hands on a forestry bulldozer. We'll have the touch truck out there. But not just that. We're also going to have education stations. So several of the stations will be designated to teach you and your family something that is real world, practical, life-saving stuff. We're not going to be over technical. We're not going to stand there and preach fire code to you. We're going to teach your kids how to spray a fire extinguisher. If they're, in middle school, high school, even maybe a little younger than that, should be know how to use one. So we're going to teach them how to spray one. Let them put their hands on one. Hands only CPR. If you want a CPR certification, you need to go and pay some money and get a certification card from the American Heart Association, but you don't need to pay a dime to learn how to do compressions on someone's chest and save a life.
Right.
And we can teach you that right there in the parking lot of the Crown Coliseum. It'll take me 10 minutes. We'll have you confident in how to do it. So really practical safety stuff that you can put into play with your family in your home, no matter what your family looks like. If you've got one child, four grandkids, you can put it in. It doesn't matter. You can put it in practice in your house. So I'm super excited to reach that much more people in partnership with the Holiday Fair.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. So anything that I am missing? We have had so much going on.
No, it's just been absolutely a madhouse around the county, just like it has in the city, I'm sure. Yeah. People, the requests are coming in. I would be remiss talking about community risk reduction if I didn't, advise, the listening audience to check your smoke alarms regularly. We want you to check them at least once a month. If you have the old style unit that's just battery operated, make sure you change them in the spring and the fall with the time change. And then if you have any smoke alarm, they need to be replaced at the 10-year mark, because the manufacturer always recommends after 10 years the sensitivity can go bad and they just need to be replaced. If you take your alarm down from the ceiling or the wall, wherever you have it installed, and look on the back, there should be a manufactured date on there. Always go by that manufactured date and 10 years from there. And then make sure you have a good working carbon monoxide alarm in your house. If you have fuel sources, that could be gas logs, fuel burning appliances, or if you have a garage connected to your home, you just any source of carbon monoxide, we want you to, you know, make sure you have a carbon monoxide alarm because they are a silent killer.
Yep, and while you were talking about that, I was Googling because I couldn't remember the date. This year's time change is going to be November 2nd. Usually it's in October. This year it's going to be November 2nd, so just 1 month away. If you have an old-style smoke alarm, change the clock, change your batteries. If you don't know how to change your batteries, call us. We'll come change them for you. But here's the even better part. If you have received a smoke alarm from the city of Fayetteville in the last few years, they come with a sealed 10-year battery you'd never have to change. So if we come out and we put up a smoke alarm in your house, and Cumberland County's doing the same thing, right?
Yes.
All 10-year
yep.
sealed batteries.
Yep.
If we've come out and we put it up in your house, all you need to worry about is checking it once a month. You don't need to worry about changing the battery. But if you are not sure, even if you don't know you need smoke alarms, if you're not sure, reach out to us. Cumberland County has a website where you can type in and it'll tell you what station is yours and how to request it. If you are in the city limits of Fayetteville, that site will redirect you to our site automatically, so you know exactly where to put that request in. And we would love to come out, check your smoke alarms, and ensure that nobody lays their head at night not knowing if they're going to get woke up if there's a fire. So
yeah, 100%. And you know, smoke alarms, I always tell people, you know, do you want to sell your family's life to me for the price of a smoke alarm if you have to buy it yourself? And they're like, well, no. Then I'm like, well, why don't you get a smoke alarm? And we even offer free smoke alarms.
It's free.
It's free.
And two, I want to say two of the number one contributors here in Fayetteville, I'd like to personally thank Lowe's on Skyber Road and State Farm. Is it State Farm Insurance?
Yeah, State Farm.
State Farm
Insurance
has donated at the state level. They sponsor Smoke Alarm Saturday at the state level. So definitely thanks to those folks who are stepping up to make sure our community is protected with some with discounts and things like that where we can get them to you for free. On that note, and thank you for joining us on the Fayetteville Fire Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to Radio Fayetteville on all your favorite streaming platforms to listen to all of our podcasts. Join us again next month, but until then, stay safe, Fayetteville.